I'm on a mission to cut through the noise and the nonsense to bring you the very best information from the most authentic spiritual experts on the planet. Sign up to my newsletter at natalieluisefox.com and you'll get access to my free 7-day Get Into Gratitude course, so you can start to feel that beautiful, elevated energy of gratitude more consistently and see the effects that it has on your life. What is a starseed? Why is everyone talking about 5D? And is it really possible to live in multiple dimensions at the same time? Consciousness is being upgraded, so I decided to ask one of the world's most widely respected ascension teachers exactly what was going on.
A starseed is someone who's waking up to their true nature, which is multidimensional. It's someone who's probably have a sense of, I don't really belong here, I'm on the earth, I'm in this body, I'm in this family, but someone doesn't really feel like I'm totally here. Or so starseeds come from other dimensions of reality. So our natural home is elsewhere, and we've come here to help with the shift on the planet. We might come here and feel the density of it. We're more sensitive than people who've been here a long time, who are not really open. So we may not have been through all of the angst and stuff that some people on this planet have been. So if you read the history books, imagine someone who's been through all the wars, all the empire building, all the slavery, all the torture, all the inquisitions, all the stuff. And then you go talking to them about multidimensionality and starseeds. They'll go, hello, but you need to be sectioned. I'm worried about you. And a starseed will naturally, they may hear these things around multidimensionality, around soul, spirit, higher self, and they'll go, ooh, I'm interested. Or they may be drawn to sci-fi or futuristic things, or they might be drawn to very futuristic projects like the Eden Project you've got here, these kind of stuff. They're usually innovators. Steve Jobs, probably a starseed. David Bowie, John Lennon, these are starseeds. There's a lot of crypto warriors now that I believe are starseeds. They're wanting to break through the old paradigm. Probably Julian Assange, I think. Julian Assange would be a starseed. Doesn't make people perfect. You're not saying that starseeds are perfect. We have our stuff, but we're here to break through. A lot of starseeds are breaking through old paradigms. We're not all whistleblowers. Whistleblowers are mostly starseeds. Chelsea Manning. I mean, look at Edward Snowden. When I look at him, I think he looks like an angel, you know. But the system is trying to block. So starseeds are at work in all kinds of areas of life, you know, music, arts, online, directly involved in spirituality. They might be involved in science. They're very like Tesla. They're the ones who are the innovators who go way out there and the system don't like. So someone like Tesla would have Edison, who was the 3D, you know, going, you've got to do it, you know, laboriously, experiment by experiment. Tesla goes, I could just imagine it all in my mind. And I can imagine things that you can't even imagine, like teleportation and sending electricity through the air. And Edison's going, I'm going to oppose you and bring you down. And I mean, Tesla actually was blocked, but that was the energies then. Nowadays, those energies are not so easily blocked. So starseeds are opened by spiritual, most of them are opened by spiritual revelation, spiritual activation. Somebody who's not a starseed, has been here a long time, is not opened by spiritual revelation. Usually they might be interested in spirituality. So I've got a good friend who says, Steve, tell me about, he's got a very kind of a Stokey accent, Steve, tell me, I'm not doing that Stokey accent very well, tell me about what's all this starseed stuff then. So I kind of knew what was going to happen, but I went with it anyway. I said, read this book. And he read it and he came back to me, he went, that was completely bonkers, you know. And I was going, it's bonkers, but it's true. And he just was scratching his head. He was very into spirituality, Buddhism. He knew a lot about a lot of stuff, but it was just too far out for him. So there's a lot of non-starseeds who are in spiritual practices, but they would never come to a workshop I'm doing. So there's usually a great sensitivity with them, a greater sense of needing nature, a great sense of feeling vibration, a great sense of I'm being called, their greater sense to the weird and wonderful. They might feel they're weird, they might feel they don't belong. But by accepting the weirdness, actually in this workshop we did today, there was a common issue around, you know, I think I'm too weird, I have to kind of tone it down. But be as weird as you want. So starseeds are in all areas of life. They're really connected to multidimensionality, you know, parallel lifetimes, future, past. They're into star guides, they're into spirit guides, they're into higher self and all these kind of realms of possibility. They're into higher galactic stuff. They're drawn to the Star Trek and the Doctor Who and Bewitched and all of that. So non-star, I call them earth seeds, but earth seeds are also star seeds because all of humanity's been twiddled with by extraterrestrial races. But the earth has been interfered with in a negative way for a while. And so a lot of people have had their energy switched off, which means DNA unplugged, chakra system unplugged down to the lower three, you know, two strands instead of 12 and beyond, all that stuff. So we're replugging and activating and opening. But the earth seeds, they won't open by that. They'll open by other forms of revelation. They'll open by the WikiLeaks and by the Snowdens and by whistleblowers and they're and by the internet going, this is the world you're actually living in. And they're gradually waking up to 9/11 wasn't what the government says. No. So that is creating a great wave in the collective that's going, what's really true in this world? And more levels of how the world's been run is being revealed. We've had Epstein, Weinstein, Jimmy Savile, and that's revealing some of the, and that's just the tip of how the world's been run. As that's revealed, the world is going, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that. We've got to change everything. So that's how the earth seeds will transform. So the difference between 3D, 4D and 5D, these are terms that some channels talk about and ones that I talk about as well. They're just ways of understanding energy consciousness paradigms. They're paradigms really. 3D is the paradigm we've been living in for thousands of years. And even within that paradigm, it shifted quite a bit. So 3D is a sense of disconnection from source, disconnection from authentic self. It's being embedded in, if you look at the history, war, empire building, you know, look at what we've got now. Read the newspapers, that's 3D. Fear, separation. If you talk to someone in 3D about kind of possibility of all the other stuff we're into, like magic and creating reality, they'll think you're balmy, they think you've lost the plot. 3D is blame, shame. It's looking at the newspaper. Who's to blame for this? Who's responsible? Let's fire them. You know, it's all Boris, it's all Donald, you know, let's fire them. So that's 3D. It's us versus them. 3D is growth through opposition. It's growth through struggle. 3D is light versus dark. So it's like going into a gym. It's like going into a school of hard knocks. You learn about courage by on the battlefield, you know. It's hard, you know, getting slaughtered over and over again, going, I'm learning about courage. But that's, there are other ways, more joyful ways of learning about courage. So in 3D, cause and effect. My mother and father created all of this. And I do some therapy, but they're to blame. So there's always my past is creating my present and future. In 4D it shifts. 4D and then 5D, it's no longer the past that's creating the present and future. It's our so in the present, we are the creator of our reality. It's about taking responsibility for our personal reality, not for the global reality. I'm not responsible for Donald Trump or for Boris. But I am responsible for my personal reality, my choices, my thinking, my believing, my feeling, my decisions, my actions, my words, all contribute to my energy field moving in a certain direction. My stories. So if I hold a 3D story of, it's all unfair, it's all done to me, my mother was an alcoholic and she screwed my life, my father blocked me from university, all this stuff, then we're projecting that in the future. But in 4D, we realize we're the creators, and we start playing with this idea, we create our reality, personal reality. We start shifting our stories, we start shifting our thinking patterns, affirmations could be good, you know, vision boarding. We start thinking about what's bigger than what I thought about before. Our sense of identity shifts, our sense of possibility shifts, all of that shifts. And so the results in the world start shifting. We start experiencing new things. We start feeling flow, and that's synchronicity. It's like, ooh, miracles, you know. In 4D, you can think about, what is it, Alice in Wonderland said, I expect one miracle before breakfast, or something like that. It was in Alice in Wonderland. We start expecting things to be better, to flow. We start redefining success, redefining happiness, redefining spirituality for ourselves. We kind of ditch other people's definitions. The future is impacting on our present. We're not looking to the past to sort out our present for answers. We're looking to the future. What could this life be? What could I become? What's possible? So in 4D, there's lots of, so when I was doing this stuff, I was doing lots of mantras and focusing and vision boarding and writing out, you know, stories and visualizing, and I did shamanism, Wicca, I was doing magical rituals with the full moon, manifesting, you know, and wishing well for everyone, and very exhausting, but a lot of fun. In 5D, it's all about vibration. It's not about all the rest of it. It's about stabilizing in a higher frequency. A higher frequency. So lower frequencies are things like rage. Oh, I'm really angry. And it doesn't mean you can't be angry. It means don't be stuck in it. It's only an energy. When we get stuck in it, it kind of pulls us down. Or I'm sad I lost my mother 20 years ago. Grief is natural, but to hold on to it and recycle it creates a lower energy. Or I'm so afraid of X or Y or Z or whatever it is. These create all those energies. Or I'm so guilty about, you know, I heard a ridiculous story. Someone went for a red traffic light in a desert, some kind of deserted region, and still felt guilty about going through a red light. You know? Guilt and all those things kind of keep us spiraling down. Not that they're not natural emotions, but they're not meant to keep us locked down. In 5D, we start spiraling up. We start spiraling up into more joy, growth through joy. We can grow through joy, not through hard work and struggle and pushing. It's allowing and opening. We can grow through play, through laughter, through intimacy, through adventure, through love, through ecstasy, through bliss, through... But then 5D, they're all sub-levels. They're all levels that we can kind of stabilize in. When we stabilize in a kind of deep peace or a deep connection to the universe, and we're not kind of doing... It's natural on the journey to do this, kind of, you know, I feel elated. I did the workshop. I went in my corporate job. I feel bad. I went and saw my friend. I feel elated. I spoke to that depressed friend, I feel bad. 5D is more stabilizing. It doesn't matter what's happening in the world. The world will do what it wants to do, but we're more stabilizing the connection between our true self, the connection also between the energies of the earth, which is very high frequency, the core of Gaia, and the core of, I mean, the way I work is the sun and the central sun, these energy channels that we can align with that keeps our energy high no matter what's going on outside. So, what might be happening outside is there's all kinds of fluctuations. Someone's upset, someone's depressed, but we're staying in this constant connection and we don't get pulled down. We actually try to, not we're having to lift people up, but our energy may lift people up if they want it, but we're stable in a more higher frequency place of possibility, magic, light, connection to who we truly are, not who we think other people think we should be. So a 5D life might seem pretty ordinary from the outside, but from the inside, there's a greater sense of happiness or success defined by the person. Whatever is success, it's not defined by the culture or family, which a lot of people are chasing. I have to step up the corporate ladder or step up. It actually shifts. It can become very ordinary from the outside, but from the inside, it's deeply meaningful. So a 5D life, I would say, is deeply meaningful. It's deeply magical. There's a lot of synchronicity, there's a lot of opening, and there's an expansion of, you know, for me, 30 years ago, I would never have thought I could write books. I've written 5, and I co-wrote one, so 6. I would never even, back then, I would never have thought of it. Or, you know, if I'd have told my past self, you're going to lead retreats around the world, I'd be like, on what? You know. Or you're going to be coaching people. There was no such word as coaching. Well, there was, but I wouldn't have understood it. Or you're going to be doing X, Y, Z, you know. I wouldn't have got it. So there's more possibility, there's more. It's really like what would I like to do with the rest of my life? Really, deeply, what would I love to do? And that's a question that just keeps up. So I think a 5D life is that, really. It's doing things that's more about happiness. It's growing, but growing through a kind of joy rather than the hard angst. And I avoid angst. I don't want to do angst. That's really the old way. Or struggle is not the way to fight through. So that's around keeping in high frequencies of love and all those higher bands. There's a great book by a guy who wrote, what's it called? Power versus Force, David Hawkins, that wrote about the spectrum of energy. And he tested it with kinesiology, muscle testing. So it's really staying at the higher levels. And he said that the pivotal point was courage. You know, and courage could be literally, I've had enough of that, I'm not doing that anymore. I just want to step out into what I want to do. So courage is the pivotal point up into 5D also. At 3D, this is our life. This is the one and only life. We may have a theory of reincarnation that we've lived before, we may live again. It's a theory. In 4D, we start having an opening, an experiencing of... So when I started on the journey and hitting what I'd say is 4D, I had spontaneous past life regression, actually. And in one of them, which I was reading a book on the burning times of witchcraft, witches in Europe, and I felt this incredible anger and amazing energy, and I thought, why am I having this? And so I just allowed the energy to lead me in meditation, and I had this regression to being burnt as a witch, which made a lot of sense, actually, because of some of the challenges I was going in. And the result of going through that experience helped release a lot of the current challenges, which in my life then was fear of persecution, because I was persecuted. So it's not about just becoming a spiritual tourist and going, oh, I wonder if I was Henry VIII, or if I wonder. It doesn't matter. What really matters is being shown other lifetimes, past, parallel, or future. Time is very, very different in the spiritual worlds. That actually are impacting on me now. And so some of those lives may be very challenging, but some of them may be very beautiful that I can step towards and actually open up towards. So the whole idea is multidimensionality. The self is not limited to one life. The soul is actually having many lifetimes at the same time. So here, we're all here, sitting here, parts of us are going off exploring other spaces, other dimensions of existence that we can touch upon in the dream state. So we actually might dream about another self doing something that actually can impact us on the dream. So for me, opening up in my life, some other part of me might dream about this guy doing stuff and helping encourage that person to do something, whatever they want to do in their life. So we actually do impact other parts of the self. So the self is not limited to this one incarnation. This incarnation is not the first, it's not the last. We exist on many levels of vibration. Some of those levels are very challenging and low. This world's been a low dimension planet for a long time. It's been a dark planet for a long time, which means if you look at the history books, it will tell you, is this planet one of love, light, and unicorns and fairies dancing around? No. You know, high-level masters come in and often get Quebec, you know. Jesus the Christ, which is one I can talk about because I'm in the West, came in eventually, spoke for a few years, and then bang, off you go, and then his message was hijacked by other forces that unconsciously or deliberately twisted it and was used for, you know, I don't think Jesus Christ really wanted his message to be used to fight wars. And you know, how many wars have been fought in the name of religion? It's ridiculous, really. But in 3D we do that. In higher levels of consciousness, we realize that we're interconnected. We're not separate beings, we're interconnected. So to make war on your brother is to make war on yourself. What you condemn in another condemns you. That there's a different principle of magic that works. The world becomes the mirror. So what you do that to does that back. So this is why people teach about gratitude and about appreciation and affirming. Because what you bless, it starts to come back. It's a kind of law of what you sow, so shall you reap. If you sow blessings and love, you'll find people blessing you and loving you all the time. Multidimensionally, we're shifting our vibration, we're opening up to different aspects of the self. We realize we're a bigger being than we thought we were before. We're realizing our connection to the universe and to something greater than ourselves, our personality self. So So what are the kind of multidimensional gifts, talents, and abilities? So an example would be, back in the 90s, I went and saw a healer, and this healer got a pendulum, a load of charts, and said, oh yeah, you've been a high priestess in Atlantis and a high priestess in Egypt. You've worked magically there, 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 there. You've done this, you've done that. You were this, you were doing that. And I kind of realized, well, if that's true, then all this training I'm doing is really a question of remembering and reactivating. I'm not learning a lot of new things. I'm learning about video editing or something, but learning about magic and ritual and all those things have been in me for a long time. So it's just about reawakening and remembering it and opening up the layers of it. So for some people, they may have a tremendous gift of leadership. They may have a gift of intuition, of being a channel, of doing light language. And it's when we open up to these gifts and know that we've done it before, it's not a completely new thing, that we can really embrace it, going, I don't need a PhD in light language. I've done it before. I have full permission to do it. And off you go. So it's around, we don't know what's inside of a person. I don't know what the inner potential is in you or anybody else until it's activated. So if you have, metaphorically speaking, the seeds of an apple tree inside of you, and I'm trying to force it to be a pear tree, then I'm going to be completely pushing you in the wrong way. We have to find out this vague notion of inner potential in someone. What is it? And actually help bring it out. What is those gifts? What is those talents? My son, many years ago, said, Dad, I need some help with work and money. And so I said, all right, it's very interesting working with your children. So I worked with him and I said, well, look, he has a natural gift of really connecting with people, talking people down out of difficult situations. And his answer to me at the time was, yes, but everyone can do that. And I said, no, not everyone can do that. You can do that. And usually we discount our gifts thinking everyone can do it, or it's not important, or how's that going to make money? So I had a coach, he was quite spiritual actually, tell me 10 years ago, he said, you're a magician. And I went, yeah, right. How is that going to work then? How am I going to pay the rent with that? They completely discounted it. He could see something in me. So now I'm on this path of magic. And, that until I fully embraced it, nothing was flowing. I was resisting it. I wanted to be serious and I wanted people to take me seriously. Who am I? Some kind of Merlin with a long grey beard or something, you know, with a staff with a crystal on it. So, but you don't have to be that way. You know, the gift activates and it can be however you want it to be. You don't have to be, who knows, I may have been a druid in another lifetime, but this lifetime I can do it with technology. I can do it with sitting in front of this camera talking to you guys. What do we do when we wake up and we're surrounded by people who don't get it, who are like, that's crazy or that's woo-woo? Well, it's a common experience, actually. In my family, they didn't get it at all. My parents were completely opposed to anything like this. I think my parents, or my father, definitely had an inkling, a kind of intuition somewhere that I was more interested in these things than was suitable. And he kind of blocked it. He told me, at an early age, I remember when I was about 9 or 8, there was this new program that came on TV. I was born in the 50s, so this new program in the 60s came on called Bewitched. The witch, who was Wiggle her nose. And he told me, this is not suitable viewing for you. So, it's, you know, like Harry Potter story where the uncle tried to block everything. So it's normal that people will block because they worry about you. They're worried that you're losing your marbles or losing your mind. So, and what that is a reflection of our own doubts and fears. When we start waking up, part of us goes, what is this? And the more unaware we are of our own doubts and fears, the more other people reflect it back. The more we embrace our doubts and fears, the more they relax and they just calm down. So language is important. Speaking to people around you in language which they get. So you don't have to talk about energy or my chakras are opening, you know, or my kundalini is rising. That'll freak people out. But just saying, you know, I feel my life is expanding. I feel there's new things on the horizon. I'm really interested in stepping into that, exploring that. So everything's about language. And one of the problems when people wake up is they don't have the language to describe it. And they might grab New Age language and tell people. And it's a bit problematic. So I had this partner I had for many years, my second long-term partner. We were coming out of this training, this magical training. And she was very open. She's very Italian. And so she starts telling the people on the train about this camp we were in and all the magic we were doing and all this stuff. And I was looking at and looking at the woman, and I was like thinking, oh my goodness, what have we got in here? And then the woman obviously came from evangelical Christian family that found what she was being told shocking completely, and her evangelical parents were in the next set of seats. And I had to quickly save the situation and step in and, it's okay, you know, don't worry. And so it's a question of language. I don't think we need to deliberately rattle people's cages. And once we're okay and we find a language to explain what we're going through, people settle down, really. So don't provoke people. People might be blocking you for, they're worried about you, worried about, so the more you reassure them it's all right, they tend to come. I remember my mother in the early days, I was in the early 90s, and I was on the phone to a friend that was in her house, and I just said, mentioned the word angel, and she just turned to me and went, like, gave me this look. And I smiled at her sweetly and just kind of changed the subject. So I realized there were some words which might be very trigger words for people. And so I used to work in this church, actually. I was in a spiritual organization held in this church called Alternatives. So we used to hold spiritual authors. But I realized that the greater church around us was still a bit wary about what we were doing, you know. And so I wouldn't go and, well, actually I had a meeting with the rector, the latest rector who came in, and I just wanted to find out her concerns. And I thought it was going to be about witches and tantra and shamanism. But the biggest problem they had was people who talked about angels. And I was really like, really? And they told me their concerns, and I listened, and I went, okay, fair enough. So we adjusted to that. I was completely blown away. You know, just imagine those three priests telling me their concerns. And we were holding witches there and tantra and shamanism, but angels. So I created this resource website called thesoulmatrix.com. So on there, there's all kinds of blog posts, there's all kinds of video and audio meditations, and me just rambling on about different subjects like business or sexuality or soul journey or whatever. I've also interviewed a lot of other spiritual teachers, because I don't think it's fair for me just to kind of go, I am the one and only, you know. So on there, there's probably 60 or so other spiritual teachers I've interviewed, going, what's the journey like for you? What's money like for you? What's whatever they're talking about, you know. So that's all on that, on there. There's events, physical events like workshops, retreats. There's webinars, which are all online. There's one-to-one sessions, which I'm doing at the moment. And all in this system called Soul Matrix, which is really a hybrid system of about a dozen things that I've trained in and worked, and I brought the ingredients in and created something that's new, that's unrecognizable in any of those systems. But the ingredients of shamanism and Wicca and NLP and coaching and hypnotherapy and all these things come together, it creates something very different. So I'm still learning about it, actually. I'm learning all the time. It's a great path. Next month I'll learn something new. And there's a YouTube channel called, that one's called Steve Nobel, my name, and there's 74,500 on that one. There's another YouTube channel called Steve Anael Nobel, A-H-N-A-E-L, and that one has got all the spiritual teachers on it. So you can find light language, tantra teachers on there, connecting with Pleiadians, whatever you want. So it's a very broad range of information on there.